We're looking at James. We're starting in verse 19, and the Word of God says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And I looked at this passage this week, and I thought I could really stop and have these two verses, and I could preach an entire sermon on just these two verses. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for our anger does not produce the righteousness of God. But when you put this against the backdrop of James and you remember who his audience is as he's writing this letter, this instruction gets even more difficult. We have to remember James is writing this letter to the believers who have been dispersed from their homes, who have had to move because of the persecution that the church is currently facing at this point in the New Testament. James is writing to people who have every reason to be angry. They've had to leave their homes because they're being arrested for worshiping Christ. They've watched people that they love and care about be killed for worshiping Christ. They have every reason to be angry, and yet James says to them, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because your anger will not produce in you the righteousness of God. How often do we feel like we have every right to respond quickly, to have a short fuse, to get angry quickly? And how often that we are angry quickly do we end up making a mess of the situation? You see, this is an instruction from James that seems impossible. How could these believers possibly fulfill this instruction? How can they be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger in the middle of the persecution the church is facing when they've been removed from their homes? Because if they're not, they're going to be arrested and possibly put to death just for being Christians. How do we do the things that the Bible tells us to do that are almost impossible for us to do and sometimes completely impossible for us? How do we do the impossible? Why does Scripture ask us to do what seems impossible sometimes? None of us are perfect, so why do we have instructions that are so difficult? How is it that we can do the things that God has called us to do? How is it that we can live the life that God has called us to live? The answer is we will never live that perfectly. And that's exactly why Christ came. Look at verse 21. James writes, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness." Again, there's another instruction that we cannot fulfill on our own. We can't do this. We can't put away our own filthiness. We can't put away our own wickedness. We cannot be the solution to our own sin. There has to be something outside of us to provide the solution for our sin. So James continues, "And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." What we're going to see is this is the key. This is the key for these believers to being able to do what James instructs in verses 19 and 20. It's the key to being able to do what James instructs in verses 26 and 27. And what we're going to see is that the Word of God is at the center of all of this. How do we live the Christian life? Well, it cannot happen apart from the Word of God. Why do we read Scripture on Sunday mornings? Because the Word of God is important. Why do we study Scripture on Sunday mornings? Because the Word of God is important. Why do we have Sunday evening Bible study anytime the weather permits us to do it? Because the Word of God is important and it needs to be studied. It needs to be a part of your life. And we're seeing in verses 21, and in verse 21, the first measure of importance in every believer's life. Number one on the outline this morning, the Word saves us. Why should the Word of God matter? Why should we exalt Scripture? Why should that make a difference to us? It's because God has ordained His Word to be what saves us. And what's amazing about this is if you recall what we studied in the book of John, chapter 1, what did John refer to Christ as? He called Him the Word. He said He was the Word that had become flesh. Christ taught that all of Scripture was about Him. Everything on every page of Scripture is pointing us toward the Savior, the Word incarnate, the Word become flesh, and that is Christ. And when Christ came into the Word as the perfect fulfillment of God's Word, He came to save. And so when Christ came, the Word became flesh, and the Word became flesh to save us. The Word saves us, and it is Christ who is the Word of God, who provided salvation for sinners. And even after Christ, the way that we are brought to faith in Christ is through the Word of God. You were saved because somebody shared the gospel with you. You were saved because somebody took the time to share the Word of God with you. You were saved through the hearing of the Word of God. So the Word became flesh, that's Christ, and he came to save us. And in another sense of the Word of God is what reveals Christ to us. It's what calls us to faith in Christ. It is ultimately what leads us to Christ, to our salvation in Christ. Why should the Word of God matter to you today? Because it is the Word of God that saved you, believer. You would have nothing apart from God's Word. You would be nothing apart from God's Word. We would be hopeless as we sit here this morning. If it wasn't for the Word of God, we would be nothing more than a bunch of hopeless sinners sitting in a room watching water drip into a bucket. But by the grace of God, through the Word of God that came to this earth to save us, and through his written Word that points us to that very Savior, we're a bunch of redeemed sinners sitting here watching water drip into a bucket. Now that might not seem like a big difference to me, but it is an infinite and eternal difference by the grace of God. The Word of God saves us. Your neighbors who are not Christians, how will they be saved? It is through the Word of God. The Word made flesh, which is Christ, and the Word of God, Scripture, that points us to him, the gospel that points us to him. The Word saves us. And we see in verse 22, James continues, and he's still talking about the Word of God. And he says, but be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Notice, James does not say not to hear the Word of God, but he says, don't be hearers only, but be doers also. So what this means for us is that not only does the Word save us, but it is the Word of God that changes us when we continue to hear it as believers. The Word saves us. And number two, the Word changes us. We're called to be doers of the Word of God. There are many people who will come to church on a Sunday morning. I'm not speaking specifically of our church, but just in general. There are many people who will come to church on Sunday morning and they'll sit and they'll hear the Word of God and they leave and it has no impact on their life. This is exactly what James is rebuking. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. James is saying that if we simply hear the Word of God and it has no impact on our lives, it's as though we've examined our hearts against Scripture. We've seen the flaws that we have, and we have chosen to walk away without doing anything about it. When we hear the Word of God, it shows us what needs to change in our lives. And for true believers, it will cause us to make that change and live according to those changes. Christians are called to be doers of the Word of God, which means for us that the Word that has saved us in Christ Jesus should also make us live more like Christ. Our salvation should lead us to live more like Christ. That's what it means to be a doer of the Word. Being a doer of the Word means submitting yourself to God's design for your life. No longer living for your own selfish and sinful desires, but saying, God, I want to do what you want for me. I want to do what your Word tells me to do. It's submitting yourself to God's original will, his original plan, and allowing his Word to mold and shape your life. Friends, it means next to nothing if we call ourselves Christians and we're not allowing the Word of God to shape the direction of our life and change the actions that come from our hearts. We're called to be doers of the Word of God, which means that we must, as believers, commit ourselves to submitting to God's design for us and not our own design. And what we have to see in this is that God's design is found solely in Scripture. So how is James able to call them to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger? How are they to be able to do that? Well, they'll never do that perfectly. But in Christ, by the Word of God, we are changed and enabled to look more like him. We're able to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that last Sunday night in our Bible study. We had a time to examine our life against the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Another one is gentleness. Another is self-control. Another is peace. When James says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, what does that represent? It represents patience, gentleness, self-control, and peace among the people that we are around. James is calling them to live like Christ and be submitted to God's design. In verses 26 and 27, James says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. There are many people who say that they're Christians, and the mere profession of their faith is worthless because their life does not bear that out. James says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. In other words, to serve and love other people, to put others above ourselves, and to keep oneself unstained from the world, which means to have a heart that is continually repenting from sin instead of embracing and living in sin. That's what it means to be a doer of the word. It means to have a heart that is changed by the grace of God, the same grace that has saved us in Christ, molding and shaping our heart each day so that we are more and more submitted to God's design for our life. Look at verse 25. James says, but the one who looks into the perfect law. Who is the perfect law? What is the perfect law? That is Christ, who came to fulfill the law. He perfectly fulfilled every aspect. That's who James is talking about. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. What James is saying is the person who receives Christ, who trusts in Christ, who is saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ, and as a result is not only saved but is changed, that person will be blessed in his doing. And what is that blessing that James is talking about? Many people will tell you that that blessing is financial prosperity, that that blessing is a good bill of health for the rest of your life, that you will never have any more troubles on this earth. That's not what James is talking about. The blessing that James is referring to ties back into where he says the law of liberty or the law of freedom. The blessing that we have in Christ is number three on your outline. It's that the Word of God frees us. The Word of God saves us from our sin. The Word of God changes us so that we no longer live in sin. And the Word of God frees us. There's always a bit of confusion when we talk about being doers of the Word and living according to God's design in Scripture. And there's a temptation to get into legalism and think that we have to live a certain way as Christians because if we don't, then we'll lose our salvation. Or we have to live a certain way as Christians if we want to earn our salvation. But it's not Christ that saves us, but there's something else. It's Christ and how we live. It's Christ and what we do. And what James is saying is that there is freedom in Christ. And that freedom specifically is freedom from having to earn salvation. Because you can't earn it. So many people go through their entire life trying to be good enough to get into heaven, good enough to have salvation. But the truth is, we can never be good enough. And we're not called as Christians to live a certain way because we need to be good enough to make it into heaven. We're called as Christians to live a certain way. And this is why. And this is the one fill in the blank that I want to make sure you get this morning. If you have your outline, the first fill in the blank under number three, the word frees us. The first fill in the blank. Why does Scripture call us to live a certain way? Why should we be changed? Why should we be doers of the Word? And where is the freedom in that? We are to be doers of the Word not to earn our salvation, but rather we live for Christ because He died for us. We live for Christ because He died for us. Us being doers of the Word is not us trying to earn our salvation. It's not us trying to be good enough. It's us trying to honor the King who gave up His throne in heaven and lived the perfect righteous life that we could not and gave that life up on the cross, who died and was resurrected from the grave on the third day. We are doers of the Word in order to honor the Word that came down to save us. Why are we to live the way the Bible tells us to live? Because we should have a desire to please the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, who gave up everything for us. We're to be doers of the word, not to earn our salvation, but as a result of our salvation. And here's where the freedom comes in. We need to be reminded that our actions as Christians do not earn or contribute to our salvation in any way. Friends, the only thing you've contributed to your salvation is the sin that made it necessary. But where's the freedom? This is your next fill in the blank. There is freedom in knowing that our salvation is not based on how good we are, but on how good Christ is. So where is there freedom in Christ? It's knowing that we are saved simply through faith in who He is and what He's done in our place. Knowing that though we're called to be doers of the word, God is not calling us to be doers so we can earn salvation. That Christ has earned everything necessary for us to be saved through His life, His death, and His resurrection. And there's freedom in knowing that we don't have to earn it anymore. We don't have to feel like we have to work for it. We're not doing these things to find favor with God. We have favor with God because of Christ and our faith in Him. That's where the freedom is. You don't have to try and earn it. You don't have to try and be good enough. Because Christ has been good enough for you. And friend, if you're a believer in Christ, then your hope for eternity is not found in who you are or what you've done. And it will not be found in what you do when you wake up tomorrow morning. It is found only in the person and the finished work of Christ. And there's an incredible, incredible eternal hope in that salvation that we have in Christ. So how do we finish this up? How do we tie this all together? The Word of God has been central to all of this. But there's been one underlying point that brings this all together. One underlying point that is necessary for us to be saved by the Word, to be changed by the Word, and to be freed by the Word of God through salvation. Verse 22, James says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only." I mentioned earlier, James is not telling us not to be hearers of God's Word. He's not saying that we shouldn't hear it. In fact, the implication here is that James, by default, assumes that these believers are hearing the Word of God taught and preached regularly. It's not saying not to be a hearer of the Word of God. In fact, what we're finding in this passage is that the impact of the Word of God, the effects of the Word of God in our life, start with the hearing of the Word of God. So number four on your outline, and we're almost finished. Hear the Word of God. Hear the Word. There are a lot of people who show up to church and probably could not care less whether or not they hear the preaching. There are a lot of people who would be perfectly content to show up to church and sing some songs, pray a couple of times, and then dismiss. Maybe they'd be okay with reading scripture, but a lot of people just don't really care to sit through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The church family, it is important. And I know you're probably thinking, of course you're saying it's important. You're a pastor, you preach, that's what you do. Friends, I don't care. I don't want you to hear the Word of God for my sake. There will come a day when I am dead and gone. Friends, I am nothing. I don't want you to hear me. I'm not concerned at all with anything that I have to say. I have nothing of value to offer you. And when I get up here every Sunday, I get up here aiming to be empty of myself so that whatever I say is truly, correctly, and rightly teaching and proclaiming the Word of God, because it's nothing that I have to say that has any value to you, but the Word of God has every value to you. How? Well, the Word of God saves us, but we cannot be saved apart from the hearing of the Word of God. We must hear the Word to be saved by the Word. That's made very clear in Romans 10:14. Paul says, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how do they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear unless someone tells them? There is no one in this room who is a believer in Christ apart from the hearing of the Word of God. You are in Christ this morning. You are saved in Christ because someone shared the gospel, the Word of God, with you and pointed you to Christ through the Word. There is no salvation apart from the hearing of the Word of God. But it's not just that. If we're not saved by the Word of God, if we don't hear the Word of God, we can't be saved, which means that we also don't have freedom from our sin. We don't have freedom from that feeling that we have to earn our salvation. We don't have freedom from our shame and guilt, so the Word frees us, but we have to hear the Word of God and be saved by the Word of God in order to be freed by the Word of God. What about number two? The Word of God will change us, but friends, it will not change you if you don't hear it. If God has ordained two means in your life for the Word of God to impact you and change who you are and shape your heart and help you live more like Christ, number one is personal study of your Bible. And number two is the hearing of the Word of God preached and taught. That's why there are instructions in the New Testament to hear the Word of God, just like this one in verse 22. If you are not hearing the Word of God preached rightly and correctly, and your life is not being shaped the way that it should. We cannot be doers of the Word without first hearing the Word of God. And here's what breaks my heart about it. I'm aware that there are people who could care less if they hear preaching on Sunday morning. I know that because I hear it. And what breaks my heart about that is, friend, if you have been saved through the hearing of the Word of God, then that should create in you a love for the Word of God. If it was the Word of God that pointed you to Christ, and through the Word of God you were saved through faith in Christ, then you should have a love in your heart and a desire in your heart for the Word of God where you shouldn't be indifferent. You shouldn't be apathetic. You should care whether or not you are hearing the Word of God taught. And you should care whether or not the Word of God is shaping and changing and molding your life. And so it breaks my heart to know that there are people who, you ask them, they'd be okay with that. That's what that means, is that they're missing something that is vital for their Christian life. And my fear for those people is that it's revealing something about their heart, that they have no desire for the Word of God, that they have no love for the Word of God. And what I would posit to you this morning, and then I'll close, is that if a person does not care to hear the Word of God, a person does not have any desire to be preached and taught the Word of God in their life, chances are that person has never truly received the Word and been saved by the Word and been changed by the Word. Friends, there's freedom in Christ, and it comes through the Word of God. It comes through the gospel. It comes through the Word made flesh, which is Christ himself. You cannot be saved, changed, and free apart from God's Word. That is how he has ordained it. So wherever you're at, whether you're a believer in Christ, or if you're someone who's never trusted in Christ as your Savior, here's my call to you this morning. Hear the Word of God today. Christ has lived. Christ has died. Christ has risen. And he has done all of this so that those who receive his word by faith will be saved, will be changed, and will be set free. Have you been saved by the Word? Have you been changed by the Word? Receive the Word today. Be saved, changed, and free from sin. Let's pray together. God, again, we thank you for this time that we've had this morning. And Father, we thank you for your Word, which is one of the most incredible gifts of grace. Father, your Word became flesh in the incarnation of Christ. And your Word made flesh, lived and died and rose again to provide salvation to all who would believe in him. And Father, your written Word on every page is pointing us to that Word, Christ, so that we might be saved through your Word, so that our lives and our hearts might be changed, transformed, made new, so we might be new creations in Christ Jesus, so that our lives might never look the same, so that we can be doers of the Word who have been freed from their sin and liberated to live a new life in Christ. Father, thank you for the hope that we can have as believers, that if we are in Christ, our salvation is not because of who we are or anything that we have done, but instead because of who Christ is and what he's done for us. Father, I pray for anyone here who has never trusted in Christ, that this would be the day that they receive your Word with gladness in their hearts, and that they are saved through faith in Christ, in his life, in his death, and his resurrection from the grave, that their hearts, their lives are changed, and that they are never the same. Father, I pray for those of us who are believers each day, Lord, you would remind us of what you've done for us through your Word. You would remind us of how it is that we were saved. It's because someone shared your Word with us, shared the gospel with us. Father, let us not despise your Word. Let us not be indifferent toward your Word. Let us not be apathetic toward your Word. God, give us a love for your Word. Give us a hunger for your Word. Give us a desire for your Word. Father, let our church be marked by a desire for your Word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.